podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Yourself available too. Present across, looking for Thomas!
This is opened up for Madison! A thing of beauty! Johnson. For the 60
Welcome and hello there to another Spurs, New Spurs Order pod. No rest for the wicked. As you can already tell from that brief intro, I'm quite tired, as is Yao. But we'll get into it. Obviously, I'll be your host, X-Pac. Yao, my lovely co-host, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been a busy time period in not just the Premier League, but just life in general. So, yeah, man, there's a lot to discuss. There is a lot to discuss and a lot that has, I've done a lot of digging into players that we could be potentially looking at. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, there's rumours which have been hotting up all around for all types of players, but we'll get into it. So obviously coming off of a nice win, although a little bit questionable performance. Was it you who said last week on the pod that Nuno might have something for us?
No, I think that might have been Tobias.
Okay.
Tobias that said that line. But we were both in agreement that we should have something for him. So, we didn't want him to come away with anything. But I had a feeling that he might try something.
Do you know what? It was funny. I was listening to the main pod. The other day, and they were saying about how Nottingham Forest wingers are probably better than ours, and there's actually a valid case for that. And then one of the arguments was, oh, that Elanga is more athletic than Brennan Johnson. Now, I would agree that Elanga is probably technically better, he might be a bit quicker, but in that first half, in that 10-minute time period, I saw him get bodied at least three times, albeit by Destiny, who's obviously a unit, but. No, I'm not having that. That would not happen to Brennan. There's no way he's more athletic than Brennan, at least.
It depends on what the parameters for the athleticism is.
Yeah, if you're quantifying it by, oh, he's quicker, okay. They might be neck and neck, but I mean, Elanga edging it, fair enough. But as an all-round athletic...
Okay, nah, I'm not having that. I listen, agendas have to fly, and you know, we just know where it is. Agendas have to fly because, you know, if Elanga is far more athletic than Brennan Johnson, I don't know what we're doing here. I just don't know what we're doing here. But like I said, agendas have to fly.
Yeah. And to be fair to Disu, he's hilarious on that main pod. Anyway, that first half. First part of the first half. Although, obviously, moving forward, were you happy with the lineup? And what did you think of, say, the first, 30 minutes?
I think I had even predicted the lineup on the last pod that it would pretty much be the same. I didn't think there would be any changes whatsoever. I did believe he would go with... I said he was going to drop Kudu. Actually believed if he was serious that he should drop Kudu.
That's a strong shout as well, because he had a man in the match performance in the reverse fixture.
Yeah, he did, but such is life. You know, you either perform leading into the game or, you know, you reap the discipline of you not doing your job. And unfortunately, he just hasn't turned up to the races in recent games. So he had to suffer the can. The lineup, Listen, I'm not going to sit here and lie to anyone. Any lineup that includes Timo Werner doesn't fill me with joy at all. Granted, he has tried and worked very hard for the team. He's just one of those players where I'm like, God, the ceiling is so low. It's like, what do you want me to get excited for? Like, absolutely nothing. So the lineup was fine. And I felt like we had enough to dominate that game, especially in that first half. But as you will probably go on to say, we found out that, you know, a few players were letting us down once again.
Right. So we did end up obviously taking the lead through, obviously, a nice bit of play. Although, I say nice, it's pretty much minimum requirement bit of play from Werner. Just doing as he's instructed to do, gets the ball across the area, forcing Maria to turn it into his own net. Kind of a freak goal. And from what I could see after that, we maintained a little bit of control, I'd say 5 minutes from the goal. And then after that is when I first started watching it live, because I kind of had to like half watch it, half not at the time. I turned it on just as their momentum shifted, and my word, like, we were bleeding, bro.
Yes, like, we were all over the place.
Turning it over time after time. They were getting openings on the flanks time after time. And they were able to play through us. They were able to create, again, like, many openings, many kind of half chances. And then they get the goal through just a lax bit of play all round and fundamentally, right? So you had Udogi, who kind of got moved past quite easily. Bissouma didn't necessarily cover, which was for some reason a subject for debate as well, like whether he should be getting back to cover and screen the defence or look after Gibbs-White. I personally think it's the former, but yeah, there was people talking on the timeline like, yeah, he didn't do anything wrong. Fair enough. But the thing is, we had players in the recovery positions to eventually snuff it out as like a last-ditch option. And then was it standing up getting nutmeg twice? Was it Romero who got nutmeg by the pass, and then Porro who got nutmeg from the shot? Like, but they're right there. It was just two soft challenges as well, which contributed to that. And then to end the half, Chris Wood, mate, I'm so happy he's not in my fantasy football team, because I would have been screaming. But I have no words as to how he hasn't at least got that on target.
But that's one of the great. As a fan of Spurs, I'm happy he missed it. But those Nottingham Forest fans, like, that is insane, because that could be legitimately. That could be the difference between staying up and relegation. Like, we don't know the impact of that second goal. Like, that's how crazy. Like, he doesn't even need to hit it with any sort of power. It's just placement. Just, you know, place it. He has absolutely whooped it. And it's not only hit the post, it's gone, it's careered completely, like, away from the goal. So it was like, oh, thanks, you know. Thanks for saving our bacon. Literally.
Yeah, and you associate Chris Wood as a good striker in the Premiership. He's like not someone you'd associate as like top, but this guy's in form at the moment as well. He's confident as hell. And you'd think he would just, for lack of a better term, stroke it in. But luckily for us, we ended up going in level at the break. And then the changes were made, and do you know what? I didn't think we finished the half badly, despite conceding that gilt-edged chance. Like, we still had a fair amount of control, and we were looking to get back on the front foot, create a few openings, nothing special. But Bissouma was at least getting his foot back on the ball, as was Maddison. But then Ange made his chances at halftime, which at the time I thought was just really brave, because, yeah, you can see what we're all seeing on the pitch, that we've still not consistent in that control. But it turns out it looked like Bissouma and Sarr were breaking their fast at around that time that they came off. So, yeah, talk me through, obviously, the changes. that Højbjerg and Bentancur brought to the team and kind of how we played after that. Because, yeah, there's a few players that might deserve a little compliment, maybe.
No. No player deserves a compliment. Nah, I'm playing. I feel like, yes, the change, you are kind of right. There was a bit of a... It is brave to still make the change because Ange could have held on for a few more minutes into the second half, but I guess maybe the element of them fasting did, like, pull his hand a little bit, but it was a good thing that decision was made at the time because we came out with a relatively different kind of setup because of the personnel that came on. Bentancur had a good cameo, especially coming off the bench, and Højbjerg was, for the most part, he was good till he absolutely done a madness when we were like 3-1 up and he decided to pass the ball across the box unnecessarily. That was, stupid. But for the most part, he done his job very well. And it gave us a bit of stability. Now, Højbjerg is not the front-footed midfielder that Bissouma can be. And he's not going to like drive past 3 or 4 players like Bissouma. But what he will do, which Bissouma wasn't doing in the first half for whatever reason it was, is he will drop back and help the defence. And I feel that little element from Højbjerg allowed us to be a bit more in control in that second half. And I don't really remember off the top of my head any Nottingham Forest like patches of play where we were really under the cosh in that second half. It seemed like we were in full out-and-out control. And Bentancur played a very key role in that. He made some good last-minute ditch runs into the box, and one of his runs led to the third goal. But I feel like the sustained pressure that we were able to build upon from like literally the start of the second half is what led to us scoring that second goal, which was a very good set piece routine actually from the corner. So I can't remember who came short, but somebody came short. Passed it into Johnson. Johnson then gave it to Son. Son then cut it back nicely, just enough for Mickey. And Mickey absolutely walloped it. Bin line, And that's the kind of like reaction you want from your players after, because the first half wasn't a good performance at all.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it didn't even need to be a screening job from Bentancur or Højbjerg. Like, I don't feel like they had to make many recovery runs back to win the ball, but it was just good to see just their bravery to attack spaces to receive the ball. Like, even Højbjerg, who you don't normally associate with that, he was constantly running into space to receive, and then he always had a good idea of combining with one or two players nearby. It would always be the way he was facing, though. It's not like he had a 360 picture, but it was just good enough to be good against Nottingham Forest, and obviously that did decide the game for us. Bentancur, same, and he was attacking spaces in behind as well, just providing those underlapping runs into the box. Mo Lester's asking a question as well from about a player which got taken off towards the end. I want to say, without looking, the 75th minute?
Yeah, roughly around it.
Right, so Mo Lester asks about Maddison. His performances have been quite poor since his injury, and the creativity to his game seems to be missing. How can we get Maddison back to a good level of performance? Do you know what? It's a little bit harsh because he did play a key role in that third goal as well.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
It's not his best, but I'm just going to... I don't want to overanalyze it because I feel like it's just mostly down to match sharpness and being out injured.
I definitely agree with you. It is definitely down to match sharpness. Remember, he was out for nearly 2.5 months. And so, just like Bentancur, I think people forget when Bentancur first came back, he had that blinder of 30 minutes against Aston Villa till Matty Cash clapped him and took him out for another month or so. But these players just need to play for it. Players like Maddison, your Bentancur, that kind of level of player. It's not a case of they're playing poor because they want to play poor or they're just not interested. The poor levels are coming from the fact that these guys are having to obviously like get their body back into the routine of what was making them tick in the beginning of the season. And plus, a lot of teams are probably, you know, treating them a bit different to how they were in the start of the season. So, you know, players are a bit tighter. Tackles are a bit more fierce because, you know, teams are jockeying for their final positions of the season.
Exactly that. I hope that answers the question. And obviously alluding to that third goal, which we scored just before the hour. Good finish from Porro.
Very good.
What did you make of his performance? Because I feel like he's generally just showing a lot of signs of fatigue at the moment, and just a bit, just missing a yard off his play. But overall, I thought he was okay. But that goal, spectacular.
The goal definitely was good. Overall, I would say his performance was actually poor. He gave away the ball a lot, especially in that first half. And he didn't really provide much defensive cover, if I'm being brutally honest, for like a brief period in the first half. Him and Destiny, I don't think that was one of their better performances, but obviously the goal over supersedes that for Porro. But what I will say is that he didn't quit. He continued and basically got rewarded for all the hard work. I do agree with you on the fatigue side of things. He's played pretty much every game. And every minute of every game. I think he had a brief period in February where he was injured for a small period. But outside of that, he's literally played every single game. So he probably is tired and maybe does need a rest here and there. But unfortunately for these players, you know, they've only got one game a week. So there's not really much room to kind of argue that they should rest. You know, they kind of got to ride through it and hopefully get us as high up the table as possible.
Yeah, fair. It is a bit weird, only in the sense that I know Emerson Royale has a drop-off of what he can offer us on the ball, etc. I just don't think he's that bad that he can't give Porro like a 15-minute rest or so. But yeah, I digress. Ange, obviously knows better than me. We spoke about Werner earlier. Now, I love Windy. I love the Syringe podcast, but he, as of, and about 90%, I think, of the Twitter following of his on his poll, agree that Werner should be signed. It's obviously been a divisive subject amongst all Spurs fans and in our group chat in particular. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been saying on the pod and in the group chat that he's going to sign.
You've just resigned yourself to it.
Yeah, I'm not even going to sit here and think that the club are not going to sign him. He's going to sign. On numbers alone, in terms of like what the output is, you could argue he merits a contract. 15 million sounds like a snip. But for the love of God, people, we are literally seeing this in real time. We're watching this, yeah? The guy is just... There's too much higgy haggard for me to even entertain this whole... He's a very good... Somebody, I can't remember who it was, but I was watching a podcast, a Spurs fan, and he was saying that Werner's output and his goals and assist ratio since coming to the club has been absolutely fantastic. We'd have to rip off RB Leipzig's arm to not pay them 15 million. I was like, well, listen, Brennan Johnson cost like 49 million or whatever it was, 46, whatever the amount is. He's probably got the exact same amount of goals and assist returns as Werner. And not a single Spurs fan, yeah, is hyping him up the way they're hyping up Werner. And this is just calling a spade a spade. I feel like if you're going to put money into Werner, Werner has to be like, I know people don't want to hear this. He probably doesn't want to hear this, but it'd have to be like our second or third choice. Like, there's no way we're spending 15 million for this guy to be a legitimate starter next season. You must be drunk. I can't have that. And that's where my problem is. Like,
he only cost 15 million.
Yeah, money. And but we're not, this is the problem with, this is not only the problem with Spurs, but this is the problem with a lot of Spurs fans. They think that 15 million means, oh, we're still going to spend money. No, we've never operated like that. We know how this club operates under Daniel Levy. We spend that 15 million on Werner. Don't be surprised if that's our only left wing recruit. Only. And then you're like, why did he do this? Well, because you guys hyped it up and thought, yeah, this would be a great deal. No, it definitely won't. 15 million on Werner won't look too bad if we go and spend, say, 40 million on, for argument's sake, Nico Williams, and they battle it out for the left wing spot. All right. No, that's fine. That's fine. I can live with that. Because there's two players fighting for one spot. And then Son can deputize if he wants to go there, or we need him there. So that's essentially three players. But if you're going to, if we as Spurs notoriously have done, well, especially under Levy, notoriously have done business where all you have to do is look at last summer. Look at last summer. All summer I was screaming we needed two centre-backs, two new centre-backs. That's why I was screaming all summer. We got one. You know what happened after the 10th game? We lost both our starting centre-backs. So, like, you can't even make this stuff up. So I'm saying, I do not want Werner, but I've decided, like, I've actually given up in believing that we're not going to sign him, because I think we are. Mm. And if we do sign him for 15 million, there's no way I want to hear that he's our only left wing or right wing, whatever position you want to consider it to be, like, recruit. If he's the only one, somebody has to punch Levy in the face. Anybody.
Oh, I'm trying to think of how many times you might have alluded to punching Levy in the face, or just seeing him on road, seeing how accessible he is.
He's very accessible now, especially with the way the tier is. Listen, drag man down by his tie. If he looks over the balcony, bring him back down, bruv. We need to have answers immediately.
So I opted for no, and I don't want to bring the fee into this because I don't think it should matter. I don't think it should matter with any Premier League team these days, to be fair. And it comes down to, for me, we're not even playing him in what I've seen him as his best position. And even then, even when he is in his quote-unquote best position, like, he's still a frustrating player because he's just very inefficient in his actions and almost plays exclusively in right angles with his passing and his shooting.
Yeah.
And, his vision in general is just like straight line. And it's weird because... yeah, it feels like I'm playing like FIFA 2002 or something. And it's,
yeah.
Anyway, I've seen him have really good games for Leipzig and Chelsea in this kind of number 10 / second striker role, which seems to be accommodated by three at the back structure. And you've got wing backs overlapping constantly. And you've got loads of combination options, which he's good at. He's good in combination play, and he can make stuff happen in that sense. And I still remember when we had a very injury ravaged team, to be fair, play against Leipzig in the Champions League, and I was expecting Werner to be this like fox in the box killer, but he was just running us ragged, like all around like the edge of our half, and just keeping play ticking over that way. And I'm like, oh wow, this guy's like a decent all-round player as well. But anyway, where we play him at Spurs is a touchline winger, where he's a bit more, well, a fair bit more isolated than he would be as like a second striker. I don't think he suits that. He only has one move, which is kind of what Son does. It's just literally drop a shoulder, go on the left-hand side, and just hope that your boosters get you there. That will get snuffed out, obviously. And he's just not a winger. He's just not a winger.
Not even close.
So for that reason, even though I do see him being a threat if we were to be in Europe, which it looks like we obviously will be, I just don't think he's a fit for Ange's structure. I just don't think he's a winger. And he's actually done fairly well since he's come in. As frustrating as he is to watch over 90 minutes at times. But long term, just get someone who fits the role you want.
Yeah.
Get someone who can do the role you want. And it doesn't even have to cost much more than Werner would be. I mean, Nusa, with these like problems you found, this is just an example, but I'm not saying for Nusa, but yeah, with these things he's found in medicals, that's like the price that Rick's gone down. That's like 25 million euros, which is about 20 million pounds. That's not that much more than Werner, considering like the wages a type player like that would be on compared to Werner, who's in like the hundreds, I think. So, yeah, like transfer fee aside, you've got to look at it as the whole package as well. If you are looking at it from a financial standpoint, which I try not to, but if you are, you have to consider like, this is 140k, I think, in wages he earns at the moment, or 160. It's in and around that ballpark.
Around it, he would need to take a price cut to like 25k a week for me to even consider having him.
Which is what a younger winger would be on.
Yeah, because he's not good.
Gosh,
he's not good at all. Like, I'm sorry. Like, from what I've seen, It just astonishes me that so many, and this is the problem with Spurs fans. I know some of them don't want to hear this. They probably think I'm being harsh, but a lot of them are just, you know, fans of mediocrity. You know, anytime we seem to be going anywhere as a club, you know, they're the kind of fans that'll tell you, oh, we need Mauricio Pochettino back. We need Bale, who hasn't played football in 6 years, back. We need Harry Kane to come back after his 4 years in Germany.
Oh, Harry Winks will make a good six. What?
Hey, Owen? I'll lock this. I'll lock
this is what fans say. This is what fans say. They're crazy.
Hey, Owen, I'll lock off this entire pod. Yeah. Don't ever talk about that guy in Leicester ever again. Yeah. I'll lock off the whole thing. Yeah.
Listen. Come here already.
This is what I'm talking about. It's like, we can't, if we want to be amongst the big boys, as they love to say, we have to start acting like one. Like, we can't be out here signing your Timo Werners to be starters, your Conor Gallagher's to be... Conor Gallagher.
Oh, what a segue. The rumours have been hotting up recently. Tosin.
They have.
Gallagher, Jimenez, Goodmanson.
Ellen Jr. as well. A lot of these are homegrown. Ellen Jr., the one at Juve.
Yes. Yeah, it's good.
So, yeah, a lot of these rumors have been hotting up. But Conor Gallagher, let me tell you this straight up. If we do sign him, he might be the first ever player, ever, in the history of me watching Spurs, that I will boo from day one till he leaves. I will not support him. I will not support him. He could score the winner in a cup final. I will still boo him. I'm not supporting this guy. Not one bit. I don't rate him. I don't know what the heck is.
Watching him against Man United,
he's right
in my head. In the first half, he wasn't even like bad, but that second half was insane.
I don't even think I've ever.
The whole Pochettino excuse.
Yeah, I'm not hearing that. I don't even think I've seen Højbjerg have a stinker like that. And I hate his guts. I hate his guts. And I couldn't name you a Højbjerg stinker that even remotely comes close to what Conor Gallagher did against United in that second half. That was an all-time smell-a-fun. That smelled like garbage. Horrible.
Yeah, sometimes I don't think he had... When it comes to being like a ball-playing midfielder, I just don't think he has a speed of thought or the vision in just that quality in general to be a good player, especially a good enough player to justify the fee, which we would inevitably have to pay for him. Not like I just said that I don't care about the financial aspect or anything, but you do have to look at it in totality and, okay, what you're looking to spend throughout the window and budget allocation and prioritization and that position alone, let alone Galadog. It's just not a priority.
He shouldn't be there,
in my opinion. A number six and a left winger, or perhaps even another forward. And I think we could genuinely be up there with what Liverpool are doing this season. But that's neither here nor there, and that would take a lot, and they'd have to hit the ground running. A lot of things would have to happen, long story short. But, yeah. That it doesn't happen, in my opinion, if we have Gallagher. Now, I have spoken to Dan Sof recently, and he's been speaking to us quite a lot and just kind of projecting his opinions of Gallagher in the chat. And we may end up doing a Patreon piece soon where he just lays it out in detail why he thinks Gallagher might be underrated, pun intended. But yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure if he'll be able to win us over, but...
he won't win me over.
Do you know what? I still feel like sometimes where Touchdown Fracker does have a bit of influence on... maybe a slight influence on the footballing world. Like, I'm still convinced that Sebi Costa Tielemans, his move anywhere with the video of him running back. Maybe this prop for Gallagher will up the price of the brick that Chelsea get for him. I'm still not sure if he's just trying to do that or not, but we'll see. We'll see. Have you seen any of this Goodmanson at, is it Atalanta?
No, I didn't even get to watch the game against, I was watching the West Ham game instead of the actual Liverpool game. And I should have really watched the Liverpool game. My goodness, that was an absolute classic. So I haven't actually got to watch much of this Goodmanson, or however you pronounce it. But I am hearing, you know, good things about him. So, yeah, we've been linked with him, but I haven't heard too much in terms of the rumours and the links to him. Even Jimenez, I haven't heard too much about him. But what I have heard recently that has been boiling up is Sikkerman and and Sesko, both from Leipzig. So and Danny Olmo as well. So those three have like literally been hitting up. Okay, that's interesting what Papa Blackton just said.
Ederson being good defensively.
Yeah.
That was another player we were linked with. I was thinking of Goodmanson, where obviously apparently Goodmanson's a very good multifunctional player and has obviously a lot of quality as well. I want to watch back that Atalanta game, actually, because I was busy yesterday evening. But, I mean, it sounds like a hell of a game, and it's not purely because Liverpool just gave up. Like, I'm sure those European Anfield nights, yeah, they're in the mud now. But, yeah, Atalanta must have actually had to have done something good to have won
3-0.
Listen, I've seen the goals.
If Atalanta can beat them 3-0, yeah, listen, a lot of teams are going to be looking at them like, hey, Anfield might not be as strong as it once was. And boy,
I don't know, man. I think they're packing us in at Anfield. I can't lie.
Oh, no, we're losing.
They are after our blood.
We do not have a good record at Anfield, so you can forget that. But other teams might go there and do some damage.
Oh, yeah, Papa Blanks is saying Coop Miners was quality as well. I've heard so many good things about him. I just hope this whole homegrown quota thing doesn't shag us too badly, because it came out earlier today. I haven't read the full reasons on it, but Saar won't qualify as homegrown next year, even though it was thought of that he would be, because he spent 3 years with us.
Yeah.
Under the age of 21, they have to be. Yeah.
It's such a weird rule. And I don't know how many players outside of the homegrown quota we are. That's something we'll probably have to look into.
It depends, because we are going to end up inevitably selling a whole bunch of players this summer. Like, your boy looks like he'll go. And the thing is, I have confidence in that, because Ange has actually managed to raise the stock of some of these players. Like, even Lo Celso, who barely played, but when he has played, has done okay. Good performances against Man City and Aston Villa. And it was mentioned on the overlap, like, oh, is Levy going to ever kind of turn around and be that guy to take the team to the next level by buying £100 million player? I'm like, but Man City didn't necessarily do that. I mean, they bought a bunch of £50 million players, some closer to 60. With inflation applied, you're looking at 70, maybe 80, which I think we will do. Just maybe for the wrong player who plays for Chelsea, no names. And I think it's just a case for Spurs. It's like we haven't spent badly since we've moved to a new stadium, but we have been absolutely tragic at selling players. And if we can improve that by just a fraction alone, we will see us, I think we'll see us spending a really good necessary amount. I still think we'll spend 50 to 60 million on a couple of players. We've already shown that, even in Richarlison. Yeah. Brennan Johnson, 50 million, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, just them alone. And if we were to get, say, 15, 20 million for Højbjerg or 15 million for Lo Celso, et cetera, that raises a budget significantly. I mean, that's pretty much almost a new player. So, yeah, what players do you kind of see us selling in the summer?
Well, I've given a list, but I think the players that are definitely looking to either move on or be sold by the club, from my list, will probably be Rodon, Sessegnon, Spence, Tanganga, even though he's having a good loan period at Millwall.
What's that, Rodon?
Lo Celso probably might get moved on as well. I wouldn't be surprised if we obviously sell Brian Hill, even though, you know, there's not big movements coming for him. And Ndombele, obviously, will probably have to be sold as well. And then the ones that I think, yeah, it's just sad.
He's a tragedy. I don't actually know where he'll go.
Listen, he might as well just retire from football because it's done. It's actually done. I don't think he cares enough. And that's the saddest thing about it. But from the players that I think that we could potentially move on in terms of, like, if a big enough price comes in for him, so it would be, you know, Emerson. Emerson you can get some money for, but we'd have to wait and see.
Yeah, I actually see Emerson getting a fair amount, say if he goes to La Liga, so that's another 15, 20 million. Lo Celso, Brian Hill was such a tragic one as well. I can just see us getting like 10 million for him, if that. Or it'll be like another loan to buy, like you just pay the obligation at the end of the season. We'll see what La Liga clubs can churn out that amount. I think I'll just waffle a little bit while Yao's on parenting duties. These Easter holidays are amazing, by the way. Who's top of the... I'm trying to think of that that team which is managed by Guardiola's brother, because they've just got rid of that young Brazilian winger. Maybe they can take on someone like Hill and mould him, and then we can put some kind of like percentage of future fee clause or something like similar to what we've done with Marcus Edwards. Ooh.
Yeah, something similar to that.
Cheeky signing suggestion, maybe. I'm just trying to find your list, which you put in the chat earlier. And I'm still just down on Ndombele, to be honest. Well, still one of the most talented players I've ever seen.
I just can't believe how wrong it went with him. Like, at what point did he decide he didn't care no more? Because that's the part that shocks me. Like, came in, you know, I thought, all right, yeah. There was a big hoo-ha around him, as you know, as there should be, big fee, all that kind of stuff. Started his first few games. Remember, he came in under Poch. And then it went tits up. Like, it went left fast, especially after Poch got sacked. Jose Mourinho had to break COVID protocols just to train him. Like, what is going on with this guy? Everywhere he's gone...
I didn't think he was bad. Such a slow start, and then eventually he was actually being man managed quite well. He was playing well, and then we let him down as well. But boy, that guy is zero dog, and still one of the most talented players I've ever seen. But anyway, Manu Solomon, I'm sure you said him. That's almost a given, although his stock is shocking. Richarlison though. I think we could still get a decent amount of money for him now.
We could, but the problem with Richarlison is if the fee, I think if a fee of 40 million comes in for him, boy, you just
easily.
you just have to bite your hand and take it.
If someone bid 40 million for Kulusevski, would you take it?
Sorry, how much?
40.
For Kulu?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, actually.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Interesting. Okay, oh, fair.
Listen, look, I don't know when he's going to download this turn and shoot back, but it's been, it's literally been, what, two and a half, almost two seasons now, in which he's largely frustrated a lot of the fans. Because he's better than this. That's just the long and short of it. He's actually better than this. How many more seasons are we going to have to wait for him to actually turn it up?
Yeah.
Asking for. You know, maybe next season we give him one last try. If it doesn't work out, I don't want to hear this whole, oh, he is the highest chance creator in our team. Yeah, that's great. He could also be one of the highest goal scorers in our team if he let some bloody shots fly.
Thing is, it creates so many more openings for him to create more chances. If the opposition think he's going to shoot more often, they just don't fall through his face. And he's, I just think he's just a clever player who's, from what I can see, he's a clever player who's overthinking his actions, all of them, because he's just not confident. That's long or short of it. And whether that's because of the position he's playing in or not, I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, he's just not confident. But who knows? Do you see him coming back into the team at Newcastle?
I hope not.
Well,
so
you'd rather see it? Actually,
I don't see why change the formula for Newcastle. Like, his performances in recent weeks hasn't merited a starting berth at all.
Hmm.
That's just my opinion of it. I feel like it's all good and well that you've given us a good start to the season, but just like Bissouma, been poor for large portions of the season. We can't defend that.
Just lax against West Ham. Against Nottingham Forest, sorry. I'm not sure.
We're in the final crunches of this season. We don't actually have the luxury of just like mucking about here. We actually need to be deadly serious. Otherwise, you know, we'll fall out of positions, especially with fifth place not even being guaranteed as a Champions League spot. We don't want to be missing out on that Champions League money. I'll say that much.
No, we can't afford to, literally. What would be your lineup for the Newcastle game? And this is bearing in mind, it looks favourable for us because Joe Linton, I believe, is unavailable. So, that said.
Okay.
What would your lineup be and how do you see us faring?
I think the lineup, the back line speaks for itself. If I was Ange, I'd probably go with Højbjerg and Bentancur. That second half performance warrants
them. You would start Højbjerg?
I would.
Let me get JVR to clip that up.
I would. I can't believe I'm saying this. People, you're hearing it first.
I would start him
because, like I said, that second half performance warranted a chance to earn your stripes. I wouldn't be surprised if Ange goes Bissouma and Bentancur, but we'll see. Obviously, Maddison keeps his position and the front three stays the same.
Bosh. Okay. And how do you see us doing?
It's a tight game. It's at St. James's Park. We owe them a bloody beating. Yeah, like what happened last season was disgusting, was foul. We owe them a smack of the smackdowns. Yeah, we owe them something where they need to acknowledge us.
I don't know. I think that was a necessary loss for the greater good. Now I'm thinking about at the time, my word, it was painful.
No. It definitely was a necessary loss.
I had to put my phone down and I had to leave it for a good few days. But
I didn't even see the game. Yeah. My whole recollection of the game, which was so bad, was I was out trying to get back in time for the game. 20 minutes had gone past, we're 4-0 down. I said, wow.
Why is Jacob Murphy smiling like this?
I said, what is going on here? I'm not watching this game. I'm not watching Match of the Day. I'm not watching no highlights. I didn't watch a single diddly squat of football for the remainder of that week. I said, we got absolutely harammed. So, no, we owed them something. We owed them something disgusting. I don't think we will give them something disgusting because we seem to be leaking a lot of goals, unfortunately. So I'm going to go with a 2-1, hair standing on the back of your neck. Tough game.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be tough. I think Bruno G has something for us. I think their attack might have a little bit for us. But
Isak is quality.
Oh, he's unreal. He's unreal.
Kid's cold.
Oh, gosh, who would you... If obviously, neither of these will happen, but if we had to pick one of their players to sign for Spurs, would it be Isak or Bruno G?
Isak.
I would... As quality as Isak is, I'd still just edge Bruno G just because he's like the perfect six. And that's just a much harder commodity to find, I think.
It's true, but I feel like you can almost circumnavigate the six. If you have a striker that can not only dribble, but score.
Or Gordon. Yeah, Gordon would actually fit us so perfectly.
Yeah, Gordon. I'll take Gordon over Werner any day of the week. My God.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'll rock with the same starting lineup as you. And I'm just trying to think because they've got so many injuries in their back line. Annoyingly, I think that might play against us because I don't think they'll be as high up the pitch as they normally would be if they had their first choice defence, which aids them and hinders our attack because, we just like to go behind. Pause.
Exactly.
But Dubravka is so bad.
Oh, hey, you know, the one thing that annoys me about Newcastle is their goalkeepers, randomly, it's always against Spurs that they seem to have blinding matches.
To be fair, Dubravka had a shocker against us in the reverse fixture.
No. Yeah. But I'm talking about in history. Like when they had Tim Krul, 14 saves at White Hart Lane when
say his name ever again.
That stuff is infuriating. So yeah, I hope we got something very foul for them. Something nasty. Yeah. But we know Spurs, innit?
We need to be cruel. Could be edge. I think it'll be a 2-2 draw, to be honest, but I hope we can edge a 2-1. There'll be goals though.
There's gonna be.
I'm just afraid we're gonna just concede too many openings for them, and they don't seem to create that much at the moment unless they're back against the wall. But they are clinical,
they're rapid.
Yeah, I did get help, but it's just annoying. All right, well that will wrap it up then. Cool. Yao, thank you very much for joining me. I know you're very tired, as am I. These Easter holidays are tough on parents, honestly.
They ain't easy.
It's such a joke. But check out Eclipse on New Spurs Order on Instagram and TikTok, on X/Twitter, New Spurs Order. We're tweeting there again more regularly. Should be some more Patreon content coming out. I think Mr. Soft's committed to that Gallagher piece, so we'll see. Just look out for the audio before the match starts as well. If you're not watching the video already, as it was going to be out first thing Saturday morning or late Friday evening, if you're lucky. All right. Until next time. Scott Hall, again, thank you, and peace out.
Peace.
Yourself available too. He's sent the cross, looking for Torres!
Tottenham Hotspur has the advantage in the North London derby. And this has opened up for Madison! A thing of beauty! Johnson. Kulusevski! But Madison for Soho!
Podcast Network.